magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday. It's August 10th, 2016. I feel like I should have started off with maybe the Olympic theme music. In fact, after you showed me what you showed me, I don't know if I want to think too much about that.
I don't know what that horse is called.
Is that the vault? Yeah, that's the vault where he landed.
Maybe it's a good thing I don't know.
I'd heard about that, as probably most all of our listeners, and it had been referenced or seen, but I never actually saw it. And now seeing what he went through and how his leg appeared, wow, continue to pray for his athletes. On Monday night, I don't know if you caught any of it, but there were the synchronized divers, and it's kind of one of those that I don't watch any of that synchronized ballet and those underwater. I just, that doesn't pump me. But I happened to tune it in. Esther was kind of intrigued by the women gymnasts from the night before, so I was going to see if any of those tiny little things were running around the mats. Anyway, the Americans were up, and so I was watching them, and they did really well and scored high, and they said they're going to medal. And so I watched it for the next 5 or 7 minutes, and they ended up getting the silver. And then they had the two Americans interviewed. And one of the commentators were saying, how did you, with all the pressure and this being your first Olympics, how did you handle all that? And he said, because of my faith grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went on to give a rock solid testimony. And he said, his partner, he's been mentoring me in the spiritual things into Christianity. And I guess this guy is possibly a very well-known Christian, and he's appeared in other Olympics and medaled before. And he went into some verse. And, you know, we have the peace of Christ, and yes, we're getting the silver, but that doesn't mean anything in comparison to our relationship with him. And I thought, wow, this guy, I mean, it wasn't like a mamsy-pamsy, thank you, God, or I thank God for being here. He gave a message and, you know, said that this is like going to fade, this medal, and we're rock solid grounded. And I was like, I was inspired. I started welling up, and Holly's looking at me. I'm like, listen to his testimony. This isn't, you know, this isn't just a mamsy-pamsy giving God the glory. This is a guy that's walking in the faith, and that his partner referred to him as discipling and mentoring him in the faith. I don't know if you saw that or were encouraged by that, but when somebody points out that their strength or their achievement is because of God, and even that achievement is nothing compared to the relationship they have with him, I think, and I celebrate that. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stories. Last night when we were watching, or was it 2 nights ago, maybe it was, we were watching the beach volleyball, and Tasha commented, she said, because the women in that thing, they're wearing like nothing. I mean, they're the uniforms. I don't even know if you want to call them uniforms, but they're so small. And so we were Googling, because we were trying to figure out, we're like, gosh, I mean, is that what they always wear? And we came across a story of a young lady, her name will escape me, but she was unable to be on the Olympic team because she wouldn't agree to the clothing sponsor what they had designed and given for them to wear, because she said it was too revealing. She says, That's not me. I'm more modest than that. And therefore, she wasn't allowed to be on the Olympic team. And the clothing company, and I'm not going to say which one it was, but they said, there's a give and a take here. You're giving them something and you're receiving something. And I thought, you know, that there's an element to the Olympics. There's an element to everything that's kind of dark. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and worldly, so, certainly.
Yeah, very worldly. And so, you know, it's great to hear those testimonies where there's, you know, light being shined out. And I think that even Michael Phelps has a great testimony of how he arrived at where he was and what his strength is. And he talks about a very dark time in his life where he was addicted to drugs and things. And so I think there's some really great stories in there. And I really hope that there's more opportunities within the scope of the Olympics to hear those stories, because they are very powerful. And this is what the Olympics were always about, right? You know, I mean, the cover of the Wheaties box and stuff was young kids would be able to connect with these great athletes, and they would be able to hear great, inspiring stories, and it would inspire young kids to say, I'm going to swim like that, or I'm going to run like that, or I'm going to do those things. And so I hope that we get more time to hear those testimonies. Unfortunately, that's one of the things that I've really felt has been lacking in this Olympics is there's such a push to take you from this event to that event to this event to that event to the commentary that we don't get to see here as much from the athletes.
Yeah, it's hard to know what channel to watch. At least on my DirecTV, there's like the channel 3 or 7 or 17 or whatever is featuring it. But then like 210 and 216 have individual events. And I'm like, where am I supposed to really watch or know what's going on when and who's featuring it or what channel?
So, I don't know. And there's so many events that are happening at one time. That, you know, they're moving from one thing to the next thing, and then they'll move back where they get the medals from the other thing. And yeah. I just think, like, yeah, now I know why people have ADD.
Yes, yes.
You know, I feel like I need Ritalin just to watch the Olympics.
Yeah. And so, a lot going on. So
sure.
We'll continue to pray that God will use some of these athletes in unique ways. And I know I was certainly inspired, and it made me conscientious of how would my testimony appear if somebody came up and started asking me certain things. Would I get caught up in, yeah, I worked really hard for this, or would I give God the glory right away? I would hope I would, or would reference it or see it as a strategic appointment where I could proclaim his good news message to many people or the masses. So yeah, there's a lot of different stories, and we'll see how it's used for God's glory. I think there's different ministries that go around during the Olympics and hand out tracts, and I haven't heard any of that.
Man,
and I know one of the initial gold medalists, some younger girl, was overtly Christian, I guess, because I just saw a caption that the headline was, left media doesn't want to acknowledge her or her achievement or something.
Well, there was a big to-do because... because she won the first gold medal, I think, won by the United States was in shooting. And so people around the world were tweeting things like, you know, United States win shooting competition. Tomorrow they'll win mass shooting competition.
Oh.
You know, and just kind of, you know, the gun rights advocate type people are, you know, would well up to the surface and say, look at that yet again. And that's been... That's been an event for a long, long time, and that's been something that we've celebrated, yeah, not just as a nation, but we celebrated worldwide since, for however long, sharpshooting and things that, and the ability for somebody. And that does take a great deal of skill. That's different than the drive-by shooting or whatever else that people might want to connect it with. What she's doing is very difficult.
Yeah, well, you saw the caption. You know, you get all these things on Facebook or when you log on to something in news feeds and you see all these titles. But, well, we'll see what Phelps does and some of these other American athletes. I guess our women's many teams are doing very well, and we're leading in the gold. We're leading in the medals. And, yeah, I don't know. So we'll
I don't know either.
Watch a little television here and there.
Yeah, it's on, and I pay attention to everything else other than it unless something catches my eye. But
sure. So what's happening with the Schiffo family? Your foot continues to heal?
Yeah, it's working on itself.
You're still kind of limping down those steps.
Yeah, I can't put weight on the front of it. It's interesting just to try and keep. Every day it's just a little bit more. Every day it's a little bit better. I'd like to put on some other shoes than my gym shoes, but
yeah.
The Lord is good, and we're able to get around and do the things we need to do. And I'm able to spend time with my kids, and I took them to the park, which is really nice. So
yeah.
We normally have not been able to do all those things. And so it's nice to get out of the house, actually, not have, like, the world move around me from the couch. really, our whole summer has been, we just even talked about that. We said, gosh, we're finally at a place where we could go do something. You know, we've talked about maybe going on a lake and renting a boat and just time spending a family day. And we said, gosh, when we do that, kids start school in like a week and a half.
Yeah.
When we do that, and we got to do that quick if we're going to do it. And we thought, our whole summer is just kind of gone. And so it was just kind of crazy for us. So
yeah, week from tomorrow is when Esther starts at Judah
Christian.
Yeah, and
I think the kids are 2 weeks. They're the 22nd or something like that. So Tasha's ready for that.
Yeah.
She's celebrating that.
Oh, kind of like celebrating election and predestination.
Yeah, well, maybe. You know, it was really interesting. It was something that I just wanted to touch on because I didn't really realize it until there's a sermon I preached this past weekend on 1 Peter, the first two verses of 1 Peter chapter 1. And in those verses, Peter says, you know, that he's writing to the elect exiles in dispersion in Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Bithynia and Asia. And he says he's writing to these people called the elect exiles. And I don't want to get into what all that means. It was really kind of interesting because it was one of those things where it's two verses. And I thought, gosh, I could write like five sermons here at least because there's so much happening in these verses here. But what I found out as I was preaching that sermon, especially after as I talked to people, it is just how much, and I already knew, I already had an idea how difficult the word elect can be for so many people. But to hear, you know, when after a sermon, when you hear people in your own church kind of come up and say, you know, this is how I've really struggled with this word, and this is what I've really thought this meant, it really made me think we need to talk about this, because we have imposed what we believe the word election means to what the Bible is saying it means, and they are actually two very different things. So when we think about election as people, we think about winning elections. I mean, now's a good time to talk about it because we're in an electoral season. So we're thinking about who gets to be the best candidate, who is the most gifted, who's going to do the job the best, who knows what needs to be done. We think about that's how you win an election. That's how you become the chosen one. We had debates where there was a number of candidates for the election for the Republican Party and for the Democratic Party, and how they debated and kind of wrangled with each other to figure out who was going to be the best, the last man standing, who was going to be. And always at the end of that, the crowd
last
gets...
Last man or woman.
Or woman standing. Yeah, yeah. And at the end of that, the crowd is always much smaller. And I think that we take that idea, so the most gifted, the most, I don't want to say trustworthy, but the most gifted, the most able, the most electable. Those are the people who get to win the election. And we impose that upon, we hear the word in the Bible, elect, that somehow is a very small group. It's a small group of people who are good enough, who are the best. God has chosen the best. God has chosen. And what that does mean to us, what we perceive, is that then there's a bunch of people who don't get to because they're not good enough. And that's not what the word election means in the Bible. The word election in the Bible means chosen. It means loved, because you have to go deeper than simply the word chosen. So we say election, that means that you were chosen. The Bible says that. You were called out. You're royal priesthood. You were chosen. Ephesians 2:8-9 says that God chose you. Ephesians 2:8-9 says that God gave you. So when he gave you, he chose you. Gave you the faith to believe that no man or woman might boast. That before the foundations of the earth, you were chosen and you were called out. And so to be elect, in God's view, means to be chosen. And so how does he choose people? Well, John 3:16, right? That's how he chose people. For God so loved the world. This is God's choosing process. So those of you who think that it's smaller, it's narrower, that God is more discriminate. No, no, no. For God so loved the world. That's broad, man. That's vast.
Everybody.
Yeah. God so loved the world that he sent his son. His opportunity for people to hear the gospel was the entire world. It was through his son, Jesus Christ. God chooses you through that action. And so it's God's electing love. And so God's electing love is broad, and God's electing love is vast. It's not small. It's not that. Now, some of you say, well, what does that mean? God's already chosen who gets to be in and who gets to be out? No. God, because he's omniscient and he's omnipresent and he's not anything like us, God sits above time and looks at all time at one time. God looks at all time. God sees the past, the present, and the future. That's why God could tell David he was a man after his own heart, because he knew Christ was going to come and redeem all of that. That's how God knew all those things. That's how God could preach the gospel and give the gospel to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and say that through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And in there he says Gentile and Jew. And so God is saying, I see something that you don't see. I know something that you don't know. And that is, I can see. Now I want to be real careful how I do this. Because I don't want to impose on God's perfect nature my fallible humanity. But if I was God, how hard would that be to look over all of time and space and creation from the beginning to the end and know who would accept and who would maintain a hard-heartedness and turn away from the free gift of grace that he's offering? I mean, how difficult would that be if you were in that position? And I don't think God struggles with it the same way I think I struggle with it, because he's perfect. But I would struggle if I sat in that position to say, oh my gosh, you mean him and her and that? Those are my kids. Because God says in the Bible that we are the children of God. So we're his kids. And maybe you have a kid who has left the faith or left the home, or you got in a big argument with and you guys haven't talked for months or for years. God's looking down over all of time and all the space and all of creation, and he sees all the kids who won't talk to him. All the kids who have walked out of the house in a huff and never want to have anything to do with their father again. And you have to think how heartbreaking on a human level that is. And so when God says my elect, God is talking about everybody. The Bible says that God is not slow as we count slowness, but that he desires that none should perish and that all should come to repentance. The Old Testament says that God takes no delight in the death of the wicked. God doesn't delight. If God delighted in the death of the wicked, he wouldn't send Jesus. If God desired that some would perish, then he wouldn't have sent Jesus. If God desired that some would perish, he wouldn't have sent his people. He wouldn't have sent messengers out to go and to share the gospel, to bring the good news. He wouldn't have told us that we need to endure in doing that. He would tell us just to try once and then quit because they're hard-hearted. No, he tells us to endure. I opened up when we started the program to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And so Paul says, I endure everything. Now, everything for Paul, if we look back, what is everything? Beating, stoning, people who would just attack his character, who would attack who he was, who would attack his friends, who would try and do everything they could to hurt him. Every single thing.
Yeah, starvation.
And so I'm asking you, can you endure going to the neighbor who just is frustrated with you? You know, who when you walk up, they're like, oh, here comes the Christian. You know, I mean, can you endure that? Because Paul endured everything for the sake of the elect. And when he said that, it wasn't because, like, the sake of the goodiness. I endure everything for those people who don't deserve this free gift of grace because I realize how powerful that free gift of grace is. See, let me tell you what. If you are not willing, and this might be a hard word for some people, if you're not willing to endure everything for the sake of those whom God loves and who God has chosen, then that says something about your heart. Because the Bible says that they're perishing. The Bible literally says they're dying right in front of our eyes. You know, there's an atheist. His name is Penn Teller. He's part of the team Penn and Jillette. And he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. But he says this about people who do believe in God. He says, if a car was barreling down the street and they were standing in front of the car and you didn't push them out of the way, how much do you have to hate somebody? And he says, and if you truly believe that eternity and all things hang upon this gospel message, how much do you hate somebody that you wouldn't walk over and tell them? If you watch any videos with him on YouTube, it's fascinating because people will come up and share the gospel with him all kinds of places. He'll give them Bibles, he'll give them tracts, he'll share the gospel with them. And he listens. And then at the end, he always thanks them. And he tells them, you haven't changed my position at all, but I thank you that you actually believe yours. Versus instead of sometimes we want to be so coddling to a generation, we want to be so friendly to a generation that we actually turn our back on Jesus Christ. Instead of doing what he's called us to do. Paul says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect because they have been chosen and they are loved by God. And God wants to have every opportunity for his kids to know that they get to come back to the family, that they get to be a part of the family, that they are part of the family. And maybe for some of you, what you need to do is call that kid that's in your life, call that family member that's in your life, call that person who you said, I'm never going to talk to them again. And you need to reconcile with them because your Heavenly Father sent Jesus Christ to reconcile with you. He sent Jesus Christ into the world to suffer and die, for his blood to be shed for the forgiveness of sins, so that there might not be any separation from that Son and that Father and many sons and daughters and the Father. And the only thing that's keeping you from calling that son or daughter is your hard heart. And it's that same hard heart that keeps you from enduring everything for the sake of those whom God has loved and God has called. And for those of you who have been hurt by this word election, I'm deeply sorry. I really am. Because it was not intended to be spoken that way. You are loved and you are chosen. God loves you. He didn't desire that you would perish. He sent Jesus into the world, the most perfect person ever. Took upon the most heinous things upon himself for you because God loves you. He saw you over all of time and creation, and he said, that is my son and that is my daughter. Think of Romans chapter 8 where it says that we have been adopted as sons and daughters, that we get to call God Abba, Father, this intimate position. You know, the Jews won't even say that. They won't say that. They think it's too intimate. And yet through Christ and because of Christ, we know an intimacy with God that even his chosen people in the Bible don't see and don't understand. and yet we're called to go and help them to understand, to endure with them as we try and speak that love and light into their lives. And so today, maybe we need to start with our own hearts. Start by realizing that we have been chosen, that we've been loved by God, and that in Christ a manifestation of that love is made apparent. And then how do we change our hearts, give over to Christ what he deserves, what he said he would carry, and then go out into the world and tell people about this Jesus Christ? Endure, friends. If you aren't enduring, that's a problem. That's a problem. If there's nowhere in your life where you say, you know, this is a little difficult, this is a little hard, I have to draw on God's Spirit. I have to draw on God's strength. And that's a big component to God's Spirit. I'll just close. There's a great quote, and I don't know how it plays into the rest of this message, but it's a great quote because I think what we have to do is lean into God's Spirit. But H.B. Charles says this. He says, the Spirit of God will use the Word of God to make the people of God look like the Son of God. The Spirit of God will use the Word of God to make the people of God look like the Son of God. And so maybe today for you, you need to lean into the Holy Spirit and start listening to him. You need to open up your Bible and realize your calling. Realize that you are God's elect, that he loved you and chose you before the foundations of the world, that you might go and present this message to the nations. And that when you do that, you look less like you and you look more like Christ.
If something is stirring in your heart right now and you want to know more about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can call this free 800 number, and there are great folks that will answer your questions about the Christian faith, how to draw closer to God and know Jesus Christ in a personal way. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. You are loved by a holy, sovereign, awesome God, and he desires to know you in a personal way. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
There are so many times you don't feel like you belong. Everyone's succeeding. You're just trying to get along. Everybody else has answers to the questions that you face, and no matter where you turn, you still feel out of place when you reach the point.